We continue our series entitled Living for the New, and the part that we're going to focus in on today is a thirst for life. A thirst for life. Our thirst motivates us to the source of life. If we don't desire to drink water, eventually we will perish. And by God's mercy, He's designed us in a way that thirst triggers our motivation for water. For without water, we die. Each person has a different threshold of thirst. Everyone, though, needs water. And then I'm going to ask you this question today. What increases your thirst? And we're going to look at three particular things that increases our thirst. One is activity. The other is the environment. And then the third today is knowledge. When we know the benefit of water, we have more of a desire to reach for it. A thirst for life. All of these factors can greatly increase our thirst. The thirst of our body draws us to a source of physical life. If we didn't have a desire for water, we would put it off and stay away from it, and there would be a great detriment for that. The same is true for this. The thirst of our soul draws us to the source of eternal life. How can we awaken our spiritual thirst? And may we ask God, Lord, awaken my spiritual thirst, my thirst for you. Living for the new, a thirst for life. This morning, we're going to look at the steps that empower our thirst for life. If you have your Bibles with you, in Revelation chapter 21, and this series is all based on this chapter, we talked last week about the beautiful future that we have in our relationship with God and where it's leading us to. We mentioned that Genesis, the Bible, opened up with the creation of the heavens and the earth, and then we saw that ugly factor of sin come and usher death into this world. Sin came and changed the dynamics of who we are and began this journey of death. But then Revelation concludes the Bible and it brings forth another image of the new heaven and the new earth coming to us. And then we see this. Heaven is more than just a spiritual existence, but the new heaven and new earth is going to unite us with a new physical body. And so the point of this series is to focus in on the new, to stop living for the old. We see this beautiful description here. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Again, John's revelation given to him by God so that today we could hear an image of what is coming in this eternity that is new. And John goes on and he says this, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. The future is beautiful that awaits those who put their hope in Christ. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has what? passed away, never to return. And then verse 5, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything, say that word with me, new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And we pick up on our study in verses 6 and 7. What a beautiful future that is awaiting us. It is amazing what is coming for those that will focus upon the new and not be distracted by the old. Verse 6 says this, and he said to me, it is done. There's a completion that's coming. Don't give up. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, can we say those three words? To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. To the thirsty, I have living water. One thing that you can rest assured, God will not force us to drink living water. He offers it to us, but those that approach and desire that living water are those who are thirsty. And then we see in verse 7, those who are victorious will inherit all of this, this new heaven and this new earth where death is no more. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Can we say thank you, Lord, for the future you have for us? We do not have to be discouraged by the old and by what is coming against us in this life. The question this morning is, do you have a thirst for life? Many people have a great thirst for life. They wake up and they look to see, what is this day going to bring? Others have a tough time even getting up and getting out of bed. Some people are very appreciative of life and thirst to quench that desire in their heart to live it to the fullest. But the question is this, if our thirst is only physical or material or earthly focus, we will miss the greatest thirst of all. If all I care about is what I can get out of this life through the physical, the material, or the earthly minded, I will miss the greatest thirst of all, spiritual thirst, the thirst of our soul. One thing we can rest assured in knowing, that if we are spiritually dead inside, we will have no thirst for God's living water. It doesn't mean that we won't want to be at church or be around things that make us feel better. But if we are not awake and alive and born again, we will not have a thirst for the things of God. And here's something I want us to focus in on today. How can I awaken my spiritual thirst? Remember, we mentioned there are three things that are critical about awakening a thirst in us. One is activity, another is environment, and the other is knowledge. How can I awaken my spiritual thirst? The first thing I want to focus in on today is activity. Of all the activities of your day, which one draws you closer to God? Think about that a minute. Of all the things that you do throughout your 24 hours that God gives you, 24/7, every week's the same when it comes to the time allotted. What are the activities of your day that really draw you closer to God? Think about what that list looks like. Do any of your activities distance you from God? And I'm speaking to myself as well. Are there any activities that push me further from God rather than closer? Do any of your activities increase your thirst for God? Spiritual activity is vital for spiritual survival. Spiritual activity can be likened to spiritual exercise. Verse 6 of Revelation 21, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. To the what? To the thirsty. Activity. What activity, Pastor? What spiritual activity will increase my thirst for God? If my list of things that draw me close to God throughout my day or throughout my week is hard to fill out, then what, Pastor, will help me increase a thirst? For God. First thing I want to look at is this, a word that scares some people. A spiritual activity is called prayer. Prayer. Why does prayer intimidate people? I think sometimes when we think of prayer, we think of the monk life, where you go away somewhere and you isolate yourself from everything else, and that's the only way you can pray. And then also I think that there's been this guilt thing that's been established is, how long do you pray? How many stars are on your chart for the amount of time that you prayed? But see, prayer is an exercise that goes well beyond those definitions. Prayer is inviting God into our thoughts. Prayer is inviting God into your thoughts. Prayer is being mindful of God. How mindful are we of God? Well, let us know if we truly have that activity of prayer in our lives. If we focus on living water, it will again increase our thirst. If we focus on Christ as our bread of life, as our living water, we focus in again on the source of life. I get much more thirsty when I look at this. The sweat coming off that cold, chill bottle, knowing how that will taste, makes me thirsty. If I am mindful of God, then I am in a mindset that wants to be near Him, that wants to trust in Him. Isaiah 26:3 tells us this, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they what? They trust in You." We are mindful of the source we trust in. If God is my source, then my mind is focused upon Him. And that is what prayer is. Prayer is saying, God, enter my thoughts. Be about how I view my life. Don't let me wake up in the morning and not think of You, not call to You. Don't let me go through my day without inviting You into my thoughts. Prayer is an activity that increases our spiritual thirst. And then I want to look at this morning. How can I awaken my spiritual thirst? Through activity. What activity? And this is one, again, that has been used in a negative way, but is one of the greatest thirsts or awakening of our thirst that can be found, and that is the activity of the Word in our lives. How long do we go without sitting where God's Word enters into our minds and enters into our heart? How long can we go through a week without being visited by the Word of God? The spiritual activity of the Word will awaken our thirst for God. We see this, the Word is connecting us to the very breath of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 tells us this. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in, say that word with me, righteousness. Without the Word of God, we are not in training. When we're not in training, our thirst is very limited. George could probably share all kinds of stories with us of training people to endure the battle and how important it was not to have this bottle, but to have that canteen or that camel back somewhere close by. Training intensifies our desire for water. And the word, as we encounter it, it shows us the things that are lacking in us and how much we need God to intervene. We see this again. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for what? For every good work. Where is the word actively touching my life? And we see this. If I want my spiritual thirst to intensify, if I want to be one of the thirsty, I must let God's word speak to me. And all we have to do is avail ourselves to it. We see this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us this. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. The word actively reaches into our heart and it places within us a thirst for more of God. As we go to the Word with an open heart, with this prayer that says, Holy Spirit, when I read the Bible, give me clarity of how it applies to me. Reveal it to me, because I can't see it on my own. I need spiritual eyes to see it. And as those eyes are awakened, that thirst for more of God comes. But void of prayer, inviting God into our thoughts, and void of the Word, we become easily void of the living water, the thirst for living water. How can I awaken my spiritual thirst? We said activity is one aspect, but another one is this, the environment. When you're out in a hot climate, it doesn't take long for thirst to come. My boy lives in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's a dry, dry place, hardly any humidity. And it doesn't take long when you're in that climate to begin to get what? Thirsty. It just likens, it draws you to water. And it's often said that people will go hiking in the Phoenix area that aren't from the Phoenix area. And sometimes they end up dying. Because they go out to do some type of activity that they could do wherever they lived and it would not affect them the way it would in Phoenix. Because the desert's climate, the environment is so dry, you become dehydrated so fast. Our environment will affect our thirst for God. And the first thing that I want to look at when it comes to the environment is this. Does our environment involve the Holy Spirit? For God has told us, the Comforter has come, that as Jesus ascended into heaven, that he made it clear the Holy Spirit would come and would reside where? Inside us. And he would change our perspective of this life because he would make us thirsty for more and more of God. The Holy Spirit within empowers our thirst for God. Outside of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, our desire for the things of God normally will just be simple religious activity, not that which gives life, such as a relationship with God through the power of his Spirit living in us. We see this in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 11. It tells us, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is what? Living where? In the church? No. Living in what? Us. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your what? Mortal bodies. Because of his Spirit who lives where? In you. Alive in you. Alive means a relationship. Who lives where? In you. The environment of the Holy Spirit makes us extremely thirsty for God. It awakens again our perspective and it brings it into this ability that's not ours. We begin to see things as God sees things because it is his Spirit that reveals to us an understanding apart from him we would not have. And then when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you encounter others that are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a brotherhood and a sisterhood that you see. It's a witness that you bear because the witness of the Spirit in you bears witness of the Spirit in what? Others. The environment changes so much our thirst. And I want to ask you this. Who and what do I encompass around me? Who and what do I surround my life with? What is my environment doing to my spiritual thirst? What is my environment doing to my spiritual thirst? Environment is made up of so many things, relationships, where I choose to spend my time, around what information is coming into my mind. What voices are speaking into me, music, entertainment, even information. What is my environment doing to my spiritual thirst? You even say it, social media. What is it doing to my thirst? And then here's a very fair question. What power do I have to make the best of my environment? What power do I have to make the best of my environment? Let's be real honest. We don't choose the families that we're born into, do we? If we did, we might have said, I don't want to be born right now, right? I mean, it's sad to say, but it ain't easy. And then there's also situations in life that change, and we're in a different environment. Let me put it this way. Young me is a lot different than old me. Right? Now let me move it back. Let me say it another way. My perspective at 21 is now a lot different. Don't you say my age. 56. Y'all said, really? Thought you were more like 66. Okay, y'all, I'm gonna laugh at that. Okay. What power do I have to make the best of my environment? You have a lot of power. Because sometimes you can't change that which is around you, but you can surely let God change what's in your heart. And sometimes some of the greatest growth that you're going to go through is when you're in an environment that is really difficult. It might be at your job. It might be even at home. As you call out to God through prayer, as you spend time in spiritual activity through the Word teaching you how to navigate, As you stay in the environment of the Holy Spirit, you can simply do this. Help me, God. Because some people are about to get hurt up in here. You been there? I can't take anymore. We can't take it. I can't take it anymore. We say, help me, God. And guess what? He will. He will. As long, again, as you focus in on the most powerful influence of your environment is not necessarily the situation that you find yourself in, but it's your willingness to let the Holy Spirit change through the living water, the perspective that we have. And He can do it. Because sometimes people aren't going to change. And if they're not going to change, what are we going to do? God, please come and help. Help, Lord Jesus, where this environment doesn't change who I am, and I can give you honor and glory through this situation. How can I awaken my spiritual thirst? We mentioned through activity. We mentioned through the environment. And then lastly today, another way that we increase our spiritual thirst is through knowledge. Through knowledge. You know, just knowing that this water is here. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all got one too, so don't get mad at me. It makes me even more thirsty. I'm sorry, Marcus. I like it. I like it a lot. But it's more than just knowing that it's there. It's knowing how it benefits. Without water, a lot of bad things can happen to us. Long before death or before death comes, water can take stress away from us. If we're hydrated properly, it can take stress away from us. If we drink enough water, it can even change the way that we gain or lose weight. It can help us maintain a better weight if we fill up on water more so than filling up on Coca-Cola. Knowledge comes and tells us without water, you're hurting yourself. The knowledge, maybe I'm not thirsty, but the knowledge of knowing how water benefits will propel us to it. I thank God I drink so much more water today than I did when I was younger because I've learned more about the detriment of the other stuff that I was putting in my body. Knowledge that we will perish without living water will motivate our thirst for God. Revelation 21:6 tells us, He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. God is the only source of living water. Nothing else will provide. Let me say that again. Without natural water, we perish. And we go out with some major difficulty. Without spiritual water, without living water, we will not inherit the new heaven and the new earth. Without living water, we will not thrive upon this earth in these old dying bodies. We will focus more on the old and we will forego the new and we will live through this season that was meant to build us and make us stronger and we will miss the beauty of being victorious and inheriting eternal life. I don't want the old to stand out so strong that I forego the new that God has given. We see in Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13, Jeremiah, as the Lord speaks and makes this clear, there are two sins that are called out by the people. are in the lives of the people of Israel. And Jeremiah tells us this: my people have committed two sins. This is God speaking. They have forsaken, say that with me, me. They have forsaken what? Me. They have forsaken God, the spring of living water. Israel, you've gotten your mind on the countries around you. You got your mind on the old, the world, the fallen, the perishing, and you have forgotten me. You have forsaken me. And then he goes on to name the other sin. And have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. God was saying this: a cistern is like a tank. It's like a reservoir. That they thought that if I go after the natural, if I just let the flesh be what feeds me, I will fill up and it will be more than enough, and then I won't need the living water that God gives. You've been there. You get so busy, so focused in on the cares of this life that you don't pray. You say, Pastor, what? You don't invite God into your thoughts. You don't let the word touch your life because you're satisfied with the natural drink. So the power of the word is pushed aside. And then the religious spirit may come and take place of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. Or maybe it's the environment that we've chosen above the environment God has chosen for us. And he's saying that water will not hold, because you're going to need more and more of it, because that which you're containing it in or thinking you're containing it in is leaking and it will not satisfy. See, the water that I give you will sustain you for all eternity. It will never leave you. It will always be available for you freely. Church, God has chosen you for such a time as this, to live in a season that is becoming more and more godless as every day goes by. And not only godless, but exalting evil at levels that we have never seen before. And I'm talking about in our environment, in our country. So that has an impact, because the environment around us seeks to change our thirst and seeks to change our perspective. But this is our hope, that which dwells within us is so much greater than anything that wars against us. And what dwells, or who dwells within us, is God Almighty through the power of his Spirit. And the lies that bombard our minds and our thoughts will be contended with, or will have to contend with, the standard of God's Spirit in us, that living water, if we so desire. There are no substitutes for living water. None. The sign of forsaking God, because who's going to raise their hand to say, I will forsake God, or I desire to forsake God? Very few people would say that. But a sign of forsaking God is simply this: a lack of spiritual thirst. Thirst is grace and mercy embraced and honored. Guarding our activity, environment, and knowledge will lead us to victory. Then I want us to revisit here. Verse 7 of Revelation 21. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. God will increase our thirst for him For those that are on the path to victory, understand this fact. To have victory, we must maintain, through his power, living water in us. And to have living water within us, we must have spiritual thirst. How thirsty are we for God today? How thirsty are we for the living water that he provides? God is faithful to not only increase our thirst, but he will satisfy our thirst daily. If we want victory, do we want victory, church? Because we have an enemy that does not want victory for us. Are you thirsty for living water? I'm going to ask if we could bow for a moment in prayer this morning. I'm going to also ask our communion team to begin to distribute the elements of communion today. See, there is a struggle going on within us. There is a battle to keep us satisfied with our cisterns, where we let the water of this world be that which we seek. The physical, the material, the earthly pursuit. When God has made it really clear, I've placed you here for much greater purpose than temporal things. I have placed you here for so much more than just the old. I've placed you here for the new. As those elements are being distributed today, ask that you just prepare them, the bread and the cup.